Well, this morning as I look around this room, I see people from many different walks of life. I see those who are involved in many different occupations. We all have different things that we're good at, different areas that we've been called to. We have plumbers, electricians, I see healthcare specialists, accountants, pastors, teachers, and I even see some individuals who are blessed enough to be enjoying retirement. Wow. But we all have different things that we are called to and different purposes. But for some reason in our society, we kind of find identity in those things. We see people as what they do. Oh, that's a retired person. Oh, that's a person who is a teacher. Or we find that that's where the identity of a person is wrapped up. As we come into contact with someone, they want to know what we do because they associate that with who we are. And we kind of think if someone is successful or doing well in their position, that maybe they're more valuable than somebody else. And that is not really the way that we want to be as the body of Christ. What happens if someone loses a job or faces hardship or transitions from one position to another? All of a sudden, their identity is gone. Well, what am I now? And they feel differently about themselves or maybe feel that society doesn't care. We need to recognize that our identity is not wrapped up in our career, in what we do, or in our lifestyle. Our true identity should be wrapped up in Christ. Our identity should be found in whose we are. We are children of the Almighty God. No matter what we do on earth, how successful we might be by human standards, we are children of the Almighty God. We are valued, we are loved, and we are precious. My identity is that I'm a child of the King. And if you have confessed Jesus as Lord, you're also a child of the King. You're royal. Whether the world sees you as successful or whether they think maybe what you do is worthless, you are valuable. You are loved. And as we start to recognize that about ourselves, we start to see the world in that way. We see others in the same way. We don't look at others through that worldly lens of whether they're this or that or they're successful or not. We start to recognize people as those that are valued and created by the Almighty God. We start to recognize that they have purpose and they have a plan and God has something special for them, no matter what they are or what they do. I was talking to Dorothy Rogers this morning and they are doing the elections and they went and did the elections at the Remand Center. And even for those in the MAC, they said, you know, I realized that they're people. Those are people in there who have lost their way and they're valuable to God. They are worth something. God has a special plan and purpose for every person. He sees great potential and calling, and we need to recognize that. You know, when your phone rings, how do you answer it? You take your phone. I think we often just say, hello. That's the Canadian way. Sometimes if I'm answering the church phone, I'll say, you've reached Northwest Pentecostal Assembly. You want to let people know who they've called. Well, different countries apparently have different methods of answering the phone. In Germany, they apparently start with their last name. And this might not be the same for everybody because even here we all do differently. But in Denmark, they start with their first and last name. Russians apparently simply answer, I'm listening. The curious French say, hello, who's on the line? Italian greeters say, ready, upon which the caller says, who's speaking? Well, I think you should know who you called, but you never know. It's a whole family phone, maybe. The Spanish give the command, speak. And the Chinese proclaim, hey, how are you? So there's many different ways that we as people answer our phone. And in the same way, there's many different ways that we answer the call of God. God is calling us. God has a purpose for our lives, and he is calling us to fulfill that. How do we answer the call? In Scripture, there's many different individuals who've answered the call in different ways. We see Moses, when God called him, he said, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh? Gideon also, when he was called, said, I'm the least of my father's house. Both of these men didn't think they were worthy of the call. Zechariah answered, how shall I know this? How do I know your word is true? And then there's Isaiah who said, here I am, Lord, send me. Today I want to talk about God's call on our lives. How will you answer the call? Will you rise up and be the man or woman that God has called you to be? Moses and Gideon both thought they were unworthy, and yet we see that God used them both in such mighty ways. We look at them as great people of God. We might put them on a pedestal for the great things they've done. They were ordinary human beings like you and me. We don't put people on pedestals. We recognize that we're just all working together, but it's Christ working through us that makes the difference. In Mark chapter 1, we see men whose identity is wrapped up in being fishermen, but Jesus calls them. Verse 16 to 20, it says, "As he was going along by the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew, the brother of Simon, casting a net in the sea, for they were fishermen." That's their identity. They were fishermen. "And Jesus said to them, 'Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men.'" Immediately. Get that word, immediately. It wasn't that they didn't delay and think about how to answer. Immediately they left their nets and followed him. Going a little further, he saw James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, who were also in the boat mending the nets. And immediately he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired servants and went away to follow him. Jesus called all four of these, Andrew, Simon Peter, James, and John. He called them to follow him. And their answer was immediate. They responded immediately. They recognized the value of his call. And it was a very personal call. Jesus was calling them to follow him, to come into a relationship of discipleship, to spend time in his presence. Sometimes when we think about our call just being a, you know, I'm called to this occupation or to this walk of life, we feel that the call of God is vague. It's just something out there. But it's not. God is calling us to have a personal relationship with him, to do something special for him. Each of us have a distinctive aspect to our call. My call is not the same as your call. Your call is not the same as the person sitting beside you. God calls us to make a difference in a different area where we are placed. And as we respond to his call, he accomplishes his purpose in our lives. For these men, Simon, Peter, and Andrew, they became not just fishers of fish, but fishers of men. And he has a similar purpose in all of our lives. He wants us to also be fishers of men. How will you respond to his call? If he was on the phone, how would you answer? Will you say, you know what, God, I'm too busy right now. I've just got a few more things. If I finish this spreadsheet and I get all this stuff working out, then I'll come. If I help this last patient, or if I teach this last lesson, whatever it is that you do, will you say, I'm just too busy, give me 5 more minutes, God? Or will you say, you know what, God, let me drop what it is that I've been doing, what I've been focusing on in my own strength, and let me follow you. When we commit to follow Christ, our plans should become his plans. Our priorities should be his priorities. But sometimes I think we just need to be reminded of that. I know I'm a type A person. I get caught up in the spreadsheets and in the day-to-day things. And you know what? We need to recognize what it is that he is calling us to. 2 Timothy 1:9 says, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was granted us in Christ Jesus from all eternity. As we follow Christ, God calls us to accomplish his purpose. And I've already mentioned a few Bible characters and how they responded to the call of God, but I want to look in-depthly at three different ones. There's multiple ones through Scripture. Today, I just want to look at three different people who were called by God for three distinct purposes. And the first one I want to look at is Paul. And Paul was called to the light. In Acts 9, verse 3 to 6, it says, "As he was traveling, it happened that he was approaching Damascus. And suddenly a light of heaven flashed around him, and he fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to him, 'Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?' And he said, 'Who are you, Lord?' And he said, 'I am Jesus, who you are persecuting. But get up and enter the city, and it will be told you what you must do.'" Paul is the name we know him by. That was his Greek name. He was off in the past. He was referred to as Saul, which is the Hebrew name. And as he was doing most things in the Hebrew world at the time, he was referred to as Saul. But we will refer to him as Paul for this. And he'd been living a life that was very opposite to what God would have. In fact, he was persecuting those who were followers of Christ. He was involved in the stoning, the very murder of Stephen, wasn't he? Saul himself was deceived. He had a good heart, actually. I read an article about him that said it was titled Good Heart, Wrong Head. You know, he was very sincere. He had good intentions. He wanted to do good. He was educated in religious schools. He was passionate and devout in his faith and his belief to serve God. But you know what? He became a Pharisee, and he was so focused on the law and following every letter of the law that he lost what was the true purpose in the Word of God. And he started to see that people were doing things on the Sabbath. Jesus and his followers, they were healing people or trying to do good things on the Sabbath, but that's not allowed. And so he started persecuting these Christians. He started to think they were apostate and he needed to get rid of them. So his good intentions led him to commit murder. His good heart led him to persecute and kill those who followed Christ. But when we experience an encounter with Christ himself, it changes our hearts. It's not just the law, the legalism of it. And when Paul experienced Christ, Christ asked him, "Why do you persecute me?" And through this incredible encounter that we see, Paul has this bright light and all this different stuff that happens. He meets with some true believers, and then Paul is transformed from darkness into light. In Acts 9, verse 17 and 18, it says, "So Ananias departed and entered the house. And after laying his hands on him, he said, 'Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road by which you were coming, has sent me to you that you might regain your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit.'" And get this. "And immediately there fell from his eyes something like scales, and he regained his sight and got up and was baptized." This is an amazing picture of how he goes from darkness into light. Scales fall from his eyes. If you think of scales, you often think of a snake or a dragon. And you know what? That is a correct picture of Saul, who was living in darkness. He was deceived. He was like a snake. In fact, he's like a dragon. In Acts 9:1, it says, "Now Saul, still breathing threats," like a dragon, "breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord." This is who this man was. With all sincerity, with good intentions, he was like a dragon-like beast. But when Christ appeared to him, he was transformed. He changed his life. And it's a true miracle to see the transformation that we see in Paul's life. And not only is he transformed into the light himself, but God calls him then to go and bring others to the light. In Acts 26, 15 to 18, it says, "Who are you, Lord? And the Lord said, 'I am Jesus, who you are persecuting. But get up, stand on your feet. For this purpose I have appeared to you, to appoint you a minister and a witness, not only to those things which you have seen, but also to the things which I will appear to you, rescuing you from the Jewish people and from the Gentiles to whom I am sending you, to open their eyes, that they may turn from darkness to light, from the dominion of Satan to God, and that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among those who have been sanctified by faith.'" Paul was transformed, and then he was also called to go and bring that transformative power to others, to bring them into the light. God wants everybody to come to the light. He doesn't want anyone to perish. He is seeking that the whole world would come. It says in Isaiah 45, 22, "Turn to me and be saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God and there is no other." God desires everyone to come to him. But people choose to ignore that call. They choose to just do things in their own way, in their own strength. But God is calling everyone to repent. And as Jonathan spoke last week about repentance, it's totally turning from one to the other, turning from darkness to the light, not going back at all and revisiting the way you were. So Paul was called to the light, and he was called to make a difference in the life of many others. His whole life was changed from being a persecutor of Christians to being a proponent of the faith and to being a missionary. Like Paul, God calls each one of us to the light. God calls us to set that course of our life that we would make a difference in the lives of others. So like Paul, we have been called to make a difference with the light. And secondly, we want to take a look at Samuel, who was called to live holy. Samuel was one who he was dedicated to the Lord even before he was born. His mother was praying for him, and she dedicated, once she found out she was pregnant, she dedicated this child to the Lord, saying he will be set apart for service. And in 1 Samuel 3, verse 1, it says, "Now the boy Samuel was ministering to the Lord before Eli, and word from the Lord was rare in those days. Visions were infrequent." This is an interesting concept. It's a time when the Lord isn't obviously speaking to many people here. You see, words from the Lord were rare. And yet Samuel, as a young child, he's quietly laying in the temple when he hears his name being called. As, you know, words from the Lord were rare, his automatic response was, "This must be Eli calling me." And he runs to Eli the priest. And three times he hears his name called, three times he runs to Eli. And Eli discerns and says to him, "It's the Lord calling you." The next time you hear that, say, "Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening." And it's amazing as we see this young boy, Samuel, that God speaks to him. A young boy in a time when visions are rare and when hearing from the Lord was rare. And what's even more interesting is the word that God speaks to this young child. In 1 Samuel 3, 12 to 13, it says, "In that day I will carry out against Eli all that I have spoken concerning his house from beginning to the end. For I have told him that I am about to judge his house forever for the iniquity which he knew, because his sons brought a curse on themselves and he did not rebuke them." Think about that message that this young boy receives. I think as adults, we would probably have a hard time hearing this message. My mentor, the spiritual leader that I have been learning from, is being judged because he's allowed his sons to live in unrighteousness. This person that I look up to is being judged. And I, as a child, now have this word that I know. Wow. God must have had such great faith in Samuel as such a young child to take that message upon him. Samuel's heart was obviously pure, and he stands before the Lord with childlike faith. You know, oftentimes I think we want to hear the voice of God, but we don't like the message. "No, God, speak again. That can't be what you're saying to me. You're not telling me you're going to judge my spiritual mentor. Come on, God, give me something else. I want to hear something good. Come on, tell me how much you want to bless me," or something like that. I want to hear good things, God. Other times, maybe we don't acknowledge the word that he gives us, his plan and purpose, because we don't recognize that it's him that's speaking. God does speak to us in many different ways. And as we looked at Paul, we saw that God spoke to him. Jesus even appeared to him in light. What an amazing appearance. Well, I have to say, I've never had that experience myself. But Samuel also had a great experience. He's laying quietly in the temple and he hears the voice of God. I have never heard the voice of God audibly. Have you ever heard the voice of God speak out loud? Anybody ever heard the voice of God speak out loud?
Christian, you're being called to the pulpit.
Well, that's an audible voice. Perhaps not the voice of God, but a voice calling Christian nonetheless. Christian, come on up here.
I think I'm being called to speak. Samuel was a young boy when God spoke to him. I'm probably even a little older than he was. 1 Samuel 3:7 says, "Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, nor had the word of the Lord yet been revealed to him." And Samuel was being trained in the ways of the Lord, but at this time he had never had a relationship with the Lord to know his voice. This might be the same as some of us today. Even though we may be hearing and about the Lord and learning his word and character, it is different to actually hear and recognize his voice. Especially at a young age, I know that we need to spend time quietly in his presence. And we haven't heard God speak before at a young age. It is hard to recognize it if it's actually him speaking. And like I said, in order to recognize God's voice, we need to be spending time quietly in his presence. And Samuel was resting quietly in the temple when he heard God's voice. And sometimes when God is trying to get our attention, we may not recognize that it's him, or perhaps we confuse it for our own. We might think it is God's, and it is actually our own voice, our own thoughts, and our own self speaking to us. And so how can we know that it's actually God's voice? Well, in 1 Kings 19, we see how God spoke to Elijah in a still, small voice. If Elijah wasn't quiet, he may not have been able to hear God. So we need times of quietness with God in order for him to speak to us. But still, even many of us won't hear his voice out loud. We may sense as that still, small whisper in our spirit. Sometimes just a recognition of the peace he gives us as we are directed on which path to take. It can be hard to know if it is actually God speaking to us or our own desires or thoughts. How can we test this, if it is actually God speaking to us? Well, like Samuel wondered if it was Eli speaking, how do we know if it is God? Well, we know that God's call in our lives will never go against anything about his word or his character. He won't call us to do anything wicked or evil. God's purposes for us will always be something that will give him glory and honor. If we aren't sure it is God speaking, but the call aligns with his plans and purposes, we can step out in faith and know that at least we aren't walking contrary to his plan. Over time, we will find that as we walk in God's purposes, we will hear him more definitively. Samuel truly did hear God's voice, and his heart was to honor and glorify God. After Eli helped him recognize that it was the Lord speaking, he actually saw the Lord standing before him in 1 Samuel 3:10. Then the Lord came and stood and called as at other times, "Samuel, Samuel." And Samuel said, "Speak, for your servant is listening." Wow, what an awesome experience to see the Lord and to hear his voice. Even from a young age, God communicated his plan to Samuel. If we will listen for his voice, seek to live holy, and glorify God with our lives, he will also speak to us. And it doesn't matter our age or ability, he is calling all of us to fulfill his purposes. Samuel was called a boy in verse 1. And then in verse 11 to 19, we see that he is taken into God's confidence about the judgment that he will bring. He could also be called a friend of God, as God shares and confides in him regarding what he is about to do. Samuel is also called by God to stand for righteousness and not conform to the worldly ways of Eli's sons. God shared his plans with Eli. And God shared his plans with Samuel because he knew Samuel was different from those being condemned. Samuel was called to live holy, and though it was hard to share the coming judgment with Eli, he declared the purposes of God. I know that God has called me to live holy and to declare his purposes. I know God has a plan for me to be involved in ministry, maybe as a pastor or Bible teacher. And like Samuel, I want to honor God with my life. 1 Samuel 3:19 says, "Samuel grew, and the Lord was with him, and let none of his words fail." God doesn't always call us to say words that are easy or words that people want to hear. But we need to be willing to say whatever God tells us to say. I pray that I will fulfill God's call on my life to live holy, and that, like Samuel, I too will grow in the Lord.
Amen. Thank you, Christian. I have to say, Christian has grown a lot since he spoke up here one year where he had to have a stool to speak, right? So he's grown physically, but now I would say he's at the mic the same height as me, but now I would say we want him to grow spiritually as well. We all want to be growing spiritually. And it's awesome to see the young people that we have in this church who are growing in the Lord. And God can use those who are younger than us to speak to us, as Samuel was called to speak to Eli. And as those that are younger than us, I have to say, I have learned over the years many great words, great testimonies from the Kingdom Kids and the youth. And we want to be willing to learn from those who are younger than us, because God can use those of any age. And while we don't necessarily know how God always is speaking to us, sometimes he uses an audible voice. Probably more often it's that still small voice or gentle nudge. But we know that he is calling us to live holy. He is calling us to seek his ways, to grow in his ways. And so, like Samuel, we want to live holy. So God calls us to accomplish his purposes. Like Paul, we are called to the light. Like young Samuel, we are called to live holy. And finally, we want to look at the life of Esther, who is called to liberate others. Esther was a beautiful young Jewish woman, and she found favor with King Ahasuerus. King Ahasuerus was the king over 127 provinces from India to Ethiopia. He had a great kingdom, and he had all these women, beautiful women, come and parade in front of him for him to choose a wife. And of all the women, he chose young Esther. A while later, after she was queen, Haman, one of the king's men over the provinces, was upset with her cousin Mordecai because Mordecai was a Jew who would not bow down to Haman. He would not go to whatever it was that Haman was trying to get him to do. He just wouldn't go there. He knew the word of God. And so we see that Haman plots to kill the Jews. Haman plots to destroy them. And he goes to the king and gets the king to issue a decree. And in Esther 3, verse 13, we see letters were sent by couriers to all the king's provinces to destroy, to kill, and to annihilate all the Jews, both young and old, women and children, in one day, the 13th day of the 12th month, which is the month Adar, and to seize their possessions as plunder. Esther knew that she couldn't allow this to happen. She was a Jew herself. She couldn't allow the Jews to be obliterated. She knew that she had to do something. But if she went before the king and requested his help, she would risk her own life. Esther 4:11 says, all the king's servants and people of the king's provinces know that for any man or woman who comes to the king, to the outer court, who is not summoned, but he has but one law, that he be put to death, unless the king holds out the golden scepter so that he may live. And I have not been summoned to come to the king for these 30 days. So Esther knows, you know what, I need to do something. But if I'm to go before the king and he doesn't hold that scepter out to me, it would cost me my life. It's a costly mission. Standing strong for justice, standing in a place to bring deliverance for others is probably going to be costly. It requires great risk. But Esther was righteous, and she knew she couldn't be silent in the face of this injustice. She knew she had to do something for her people. She couldn't just simply stand by. You know, it's possible, as queen, she wouldn't be affected. She could be okay. She was the queen. But we don't know, because Mordecai says in verse 13, do not imagine that you in the king's palace can escape any more than all the Jews. Whether or not she could have escaped, we do not know. But there was destruction coming, and she was willing to go before the king, uninvited, to plead her case. She was willing to stand for righteous. She wasn't foolish or impulsive in her acts. She didn't just go in her own strength. She spent time fasting and praying before the Lord so that she could go. And she says, she asks all of the Jews to pray and fast night and day for 3 days and three nights, and I will fast the same and go before the king according to the law. And if I perish, I perish. Esther demonstrates to us the importance of praying and fasting, of spending time with God in prayer before we make big decisions, before we step out. When God calls us, we know the call, and we know the call is from him. We need to act, but we need to make sure that we're prayed up, that we're spending time in his presence. We don't just step out and do things in our own strength. Esther also sought the counsel of others. After she was placed in this position, she sought the counsel of Mordecai, who says, for if you remain silent at this time, relief and deliverance will arise for the Jews from another place, and you and your father's house will perish. And this is a line that we see quoted many times in Scripture. Who knows whether you have not attained royalty for such a time as this? We see this line over and over in gatherings. We go to conferences. We are called for such a time as this. And that is true. This is for us as well. We are called for such a time as this. But we see that Esther didn't act of her own accord or for her own pleasures. She was acting to fulfill the very purposes of God. God had a plan that the Jewish people were his covenant people. And Esther was part of his plan of bringing deliverance to that people. We too are called to bring deliverance to people in our world today. People who are bound and captive to the sin and addictions of this world. People who are in captive to worldly pleasures. But we know what can set them free. No, we know the only one who can set them free. And God is calling us to go forth and share that with them so that we can liberate them from the captivity that they are in. As Esther prepared to go before the king, she didn't know if he would hold out the scepter. In the same way, we don't know how people will respond when we go to share the gospel message with them. They may not hold out the scepter, so to speak. In fact, some might even spit in our faces when we try to tell them the gospel message. But you know what? There's that chance that they will respond well. And don't you think it's worth it to take that chance if you see a life come to Christ, a life set free from captivity, a light come from darkness into light? When you think of it that way, can we risk not telling them about Jesus? Isn't it worth it to go forth, even if it costs you something, to share the message with them so that they too can be liberated? When we think of it as our way, we're not able to do it. But when we recognize this is Christ's way, this is what he has called us to do, we're not doing it in our own strength. He goes with us. He goes before us and he prepares the way. And if God is calling you to share the word, if God is calling you to speak to a heart, then do it. Esther wasn't a great warrior who fought for freedom. She wasn't one who stood tall with a great sword. But she recognized God's call on her life and she stepped out in faith. Esther answered God's call to bring liberation to the Jews. And she was called for a certain time and a certain purpose. And we too are called for such a time as this. God calls us to fulfill his great plan and purpose, but he also calls us to come to him and find rest. In Matthew 11, 28 to 30, it says, come to me. It's a call to us. Come to me, all of you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. God's call on our lives is not burdensome. We shouldn't feel guilty because we're not doing enough. We're not accomplishing enough. God isn't trying to put pressure and make you feel guilty and you're in a melting pot and there's just not time to do everything. God is calling you to rely on him for strength to go forward and carry out the mission that he has for you. It's in his strength to fulfill his purpose. Throughout scripture, we see over and over again God's call on people's lives. He definitely doesn't choose who we would choose. When you look at some of these characters, you're like, wouldn't have chosen him. Definitely wouldn't have chosen him. Even David, the man after God's own heart, I wouldn't have chosen him. But you know what? God knows their hearts. God knows what they can do. God sees their potential. And who are we to judge? We recognize that God has great purposes. And you know what? His purposes are even greater when we see them accomplished in a weak vessel. If God can use me, God can use you. If God can use David, God can use you. We see that he passed over David's older brothers to call the smallest of them. He calls people who are imperfect. He calls people who are willing to fulfill his plan. You know, if we were to have a book written today about those who serve God in this house, similar to what was written in the Bible times, I know that there would be some write-ups about young kingdom kids who've had the call of God on their lives, like Samuel. I know that we would read of some of our youth who are called to make a difference, like David at a young age, to make a difference in our whole nation. We would recognize some of our middle-aged people in here who were called from darkness to declare the praises of God. And we would see the names of many seasoned saints who, like Moses, are called to do incredible things for God while in their 80s. It doesn't matter your age. It doesn't matter your gender. It doesn't matter what your past is. It doesn't matter how qualified or successful you think you are or the world thinks you are. If your heart is to serve God, wherever he places you, it doesn't matter. God is calling you, and that is what matters. And if you think that maybe God cannot call you, he can't use you, you're not special enough, you're not great enough to do something for him, he can't have a plan or purpose for your life, think again. Scripture declares in Jeremiah 29:11 that God has great plans for you, plans to prosper you and not to harm you. God has a future and a hope for you, and he's calling you. God created you. And do you think that God creates anything without purpose? God is not playing with Play-Doh. God is creating with purpose. He's forming with purpose. He has intention. Every mold, every move that he makes, he has intention. And he created you to do something special with the life that he's given you, with the place that he has planted you. And if you don't feel that you're fulfilling that purpose that he has called you to, maybe you haven't understood what his plan is for your life. Spend time with him. Ask him to reveal it to you. Maybe you've been chasing your own dreams instead of following his. Like Paul, you might have great intentions and sincerity, but you need to recognize his purpose, what he's created you for. Maybe you've been chasing a career that you think is what he's got for you, but God is saying, lay that down. That's not what I have for you. I have something greater. Stop following your own plan and recognize his call. God calls each of us for a distinct purpose. We are called to the light. We are called to live holy. And we are called to liberate others. Maybe you don't know what God is calling you to. Maybe you don't realize what purpose he could have for you, and you want to do something more for him. He has a great purpose for you.